am I? Need louder? I might need notes though. Sorry about that. That wasn't the notes I needed, but. Okay, back on track. Good morning, guys. I just want to recap some things that Pastor Brad said last week, because they resonated in my heart. This is loud on me, Candon. You know, when you're, I haven't read through the Bible in a while. I've been caught up in school, classwork, and just trying to read the books of the Bible we're going through, and I felt kind of like, you know, I'm missing out on time with God because I haven't just been reading through my Bible and just seeking Him. I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing for class and things, and I know I've talked to Tyler and some guys about this sort of thing, but so I've been reading through the Bible, and as I'm reading through the Bible, it's like, I'm in the Old Testament, and it's lining up with everything Brad's talking about, and that's just how God works, and I love it. I love it when that happens. So some of the things, I'm going to quote some of the things he said last week, and it's going to be part of the message today, but he said that God is not our enemy, okay, and just to let you in on it, we're going to talk about the prophet Elijah this morning, okay, and you know, God is not our enemy. Elijah was going through some stuff, and we go through some stuff. We're going through some stuff in the world right now, and but God is not our enemy. God's got all this stuff is in control. Is in His control. He's not worried about it. What's going on in the world? He knew this was going to happen. He knew we were going to do this basically to ourselves or whatever the case may be. But it has not caught him by surprise. But Brad said, God is not our enemy. You know, He's our loving Father. And what do fathers do? You know, they try to keep us in line, don't they? Isn't that what God's trying to do to us? He's trying to keep us in line. And I'm talking to the church, all right? I'm not talking to the world out there. I'm looking around, and hopefully everybody in here knows the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. If you're not, maybe you should just stand up and get that done right now. I mean, because this is not going to make a whole lot of sense. I'll preach the gospel a little bit, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, it might be the morning to do that. Before we get into some prophet Elijah this morning. But God's not your enemy. He loves you. He's your Father, Christian, and He knows best. And sometimes I think I know best. And sometimes, you know, my son thinks he knows best. And I can see that in him, but it's hard to see in myself. And I love it that Brad said that because, you know, sometimes I treat God like He's my enemy. You know, he's for me. He also said that we are all sent on a mission. Okay, we're going to learn that the prophet Elijah, he was sent on a hard mission. It doesn't tell us a lot about his background, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but he was sent on a mission. We're sent on a mission. Okay, the mission is the message. The mission is the gospel, you guys. We should be preaching that thing. The mission is the message. I got a quote from Charles Spurgeon's grandfather. I love Charles Spurgeon. But his grandfather said, Charles Spurgeon is a great preacher, but it's only because he has a great message. It's the message that he had that made him a great preacher. Okay? And his grandfather said was a preacher, and he said, I have the same message. But he's a great preacher, but his message is what's great. Elijah's message was what was great. Jesus Christ came, that's what's great. It's not the messenger, and it's definitely not me as your messenger this morning. It's not that I'm great, it's Jesus Christ. It's not that my notes are great, it's that this is great. And hopefully that's what I can get across this morning. He also said, how are you finding victory in your life? And it's bad that I don't know this, Tyler, but what was our victory verse at camp 2 years ago? does any of these guys remember? More than conquerors. Romans what?
Romans 8.
We are more than conquerors through Christ. So I was trying to think of what that verse was this morning, but it also says in 1 John 5:4 that our victory is our faith. All right, Elijah would have never been able to stand up to King Ahab without a whole lot of faith, okay, in God. So that's how we fight our victory. That's how we find victory, is in faith, in the Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is believing and trusting, right? And he also said that we ought to obey God rather than men. That is Acts. I didn't write down the reference, but... you know, this is why Elijah was so great. In Elijah's time, you guys, all of the people, almost all of the people were following false gods. They were following the god Baal, false god. And it basically says Elijah might have been the only one. I mean, he was the one, and God gave him a message, and he went in front of everybody and went to that wicked king Ahab. And, you know, only because he obeyed God, not because he was somebody. So Brad also said that we need to quit being people pleasers. So you know what makes a good prophet, or what made Elijah so great, is that he was there to please God. He wasn't pleasing men. He was only there to please God. And you guys are just as called as Elijah was. I'm just as called as Elijah was. We may not be called to go straight up to the wicked king and to tell him that it's not going to rain for 3 years. But we are called, and we need to figure out what that call is for our life personally. I got this a little different, but Pastor Brian Hedges always has a similar little quote. But you guys, or you, each individual, you're a unique person for in a unique place here at New Life Baptist Church for a unique time to give glory to God at this very moment, this very time in our life. I always like to look back and think, man, God was moving in my life when I first got saved. We were doing all these things, and God was moving in my life, or he does it when I go into prison. I was talking to Rich about prison ministry, and man, when I walk through those gates of prison, the Holy Spirit, it's not me. He just comes on me, and he just starts doing things. It's so miraculous and so awesome. That's not because of who I am. It's not because of anything except for I have Christ, and you have Christ. And he's made you a unique person for this unique time. And we can't look back because the time is now, right? The time is right now. Don't look back and say that was good times, because this is good times, you guys. Corona, whatever it is, it's a unique time. It's a good time for us to preach the gospel. So don't be people pleasers. Be obedient to God. Because something else Pastor Brian said was, and I've said this before, but we will never have the chance to glorify God the way we can right now. Okay? One of these days we're going to get caught up, or we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to glorify God, but not the way we do it right now. We can do it right now because of our choice. It's our choice to go out and magnify God and to use the Holy Spirit that he's given us, that lives inside of us. It's our choice right now. We won't be able to do that later. I thought that was awesome, that this is the time that we can do that right now, to magnify God the way we can. So, I guess I'm going to title this message, Quit Messing Around with God, Get Off the Fence, and Take a Stand. Okay, and I'm only saying that because that's the three verses that stood out to me in the passage of the story of Elijah. Another little background to Elijah. Until I read this and studied this, I had no idea who Elijah was or what he did. I've read the Bible through, I've read the story of Elijah, but it never really stood out to me. And a matter of fact, I heard somebody preaching or talking about Elijah, and they were talking about how great he was, and I was just like, I've read that before, and it just didn't stand out to me. So I read it again, and it still didn't really pop out at me. Like, you know, that's. And then I heard somebody saying that he was the greatest prophet and all these things, and I'm like, where are they getting this? But if you guys would turn to 1 Kings 17, I'll show you how great he was. First Kings 17:1. And man, I could stand up here and read these two chapters to you, or three for that matter. But I'm going to have to try to narrow this down somehow and give you the story. But just this first verse here says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." On the surface, that didn't sound like such a big deal. But can you imagine going up to the most wicked king? Go back just a few verses to verse 30 in chapter 16. It says, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." This was the most evil king ever in the land. And if you ever read through Judges and Joshua and all them guys, there's some pretty bad stuff going on. This was the most evil. He did the most evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 33 says, "And he made a grove, and he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And here I am, Elijah, going up before this dude and saying, look, bud, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." This guy was like, who are you? It doesn't give us any background to Elijah or nothing. It doesn't say he was raised by, you know, godly parents. He wasn't in the line of kings that I know of. But he was called, apparently he was called by God to go before this wicked king and to say these things to him. And you know what he says? He says, "The Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand." He was making a stand. That's why I say, quit messing around, get off the fence and make a stand. This guy made a stand. And I've heard him say, where's the Elijahs of today, right? Where's the Elijah of today that's going to make a stand? You know, we had Billy Graham and we had all these great men before. We're kind of, who do we have today? Who's going to make a stand? Well, guess what? It wasn't Elijah that made the stand. It was the God of Elijah, right? Where's the God of Elijah? We know where the God of Elijah is. He's right here. He's in our hearts. He's trying to live through me. So quit messing around with God and get off the fence and take a stand. So choose you this day whom you will serve, right? So you say, why? Why do I need to get off the fence? Why do I need to take a stand? Isn't it good enough that I'm sitting here at church? Or that I've been baptized? Isn't that enough? It wasn't enough for Elijah. You know, I want to get ahead of myself. Turn to Philippians 3. And I'm going to go back to Pastor Brad, but our 2020 verse. Does anybody memorize this verse? Philippians 3:14. Or does anybody know what our little 2020 quote is? Pressing toward the mark. You think Elijah was pressing toward a mark? Verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It goes on to say, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Look, no looking back. Like I said, those days were good. These days are going to be better. Don't look back. Today's the day. You guys, now's the time. This is our day. This is new life's day. So in that verse, he says that not to think too highly of yourself. Forget the past. Look right in front of you. Because that's where we're going to be able to press towards the mark. It's right in front of us, you guys. It's right where we work. It's right in our families. It's right in front of us. New life, we have, we have discipleship. We have different things we can go higher in learning this word, God's word. It's right in front of us. The mark is the high calling of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say that God is revealing these things to you that are otherwise, you guys. God is revealing the things to you that aren't right in your life. We need to get rid of them. That's what he sent Elijah to do. He sent Elijah. The reason he did away with the rain was because Old Testament said, you know, not to follow other gods or I'd take away the rain. And we're going to get to that. Don't look back. God is revealing the things to you that you need to get rid of, the idolatry, whatever it is, that the same thing that was going on in Elijah's days. So take what you know, no matter how much it is, and put it to work. Put it to press towards the mark. Last thing, and then we'll get to our scriptures. James 5. James 5, 17. Elijah is mentioned more in the New Testament than any other prophet. And here it says something profound about the greatest prophet. I don't know who said that he was the greatest prophet. And I'm not sure whether he was or not, but he was an awesome prophet. James 5, 17 and 18 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Guys, Elijah, it says, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was no different than me. Tyler, Elijah was no different than you. And what did he do? He just obeyed God. Was he fearful? I bet he was a little fearful at times. Was he depressed? It goes on to say in 1 Kings 17 that God sent him off into a mountain all by himself to be fed by ravens. And God fed him in this wilderness or whatever for quite a while. Think he was depressed? A little. Do you think he was outnumbered? When he came back, God sent him back to King Ahab to meet him face to face again. All those people were following all these false gods, and he comes to call them out on it. You think he was a little fearful? You think he was outnumbered? I can guarantee he was misunderstood. Nobody understood what he was trying to tell them. They were on the fence, you guys. They were like, I'm going to follow God, but this following Baal thing, it's a whole lot more fun. I'm not for sure we don't follow Baal today, some guys. You think he was alone? You guys ever feel alone? Nobody understands you? Nobody listens to you? Insecure. These things that are like passions that I think Elijah would have felt with us, you guys. God uses those things to get glory. You know, just like I have trouble trying to write a message. God uses that because, you know, maybe he's not using the things that I wanted to write down. He's using what he wants to, for, you know, us to learn, us to hear. So who was this Elijah? It doesn't tell us much about it in the history, but I know that just in that verse 1, he took a biblical stand. You can turn to Deuteronomy 11:16. You guys like flipping Bible, right? Deuteronomy 11:16 is going to tell us that law that says that you shouldn't serve other gods or else he's going to take the rain away. It says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Man, maybe Elijah knew his Bible. And he was like, God, look at all these people worshiping a false god. Look at America, you know, where the, you know, the filthy computer, I don't even want to say the word industry, is making billions and billions of dollars, you know. And then you look at what the god of Baal was. It was perversion, you guys. That's what Baal, that's what they were doing, just like they did around that golden calf. It's a god of perversion. They were doing all kinds of immorality that we can't even speak of. We're doing the same thing today. And it's getting worse with the COVID. You guys, as soon as these guys are getting worse and worse and worse with this perversion, is the more they're going to accept the message of Jesus Christ, because it's not right, and they know it. And I've been there, and I know. The lower that we get as a society, the more they're going to want and need the gospel, and the more we need to be preaching it. So, he took a biblical stand. He knew his Bible. He was a man of courage. He stood up to the evil king. He was a man of faith. He did what God told him to do. He was a man of action. He didn't just believe what God told him to do, right? He went and did something about it. I have a problem with that. I don't do that enough. And I know we all are the same way, but Elijah did it. He was a man of like passions as we are. And he said, oh God, you want me to go tell the most evil king in the whole wide world that, you know, it's not going to rain for 3 years? You can imagine what it would be like if it didn't rain for 3 years here. That was in the desert, I think. I mean, they had the Jordan River, but 3.5 years, no rain. What was so evil about the kings that, you know, God would not send them any rain? And that's idolatry, you guys, is what they were doing. They were worshiping another god. All the history that the Israelites had of, you know, the Red Sea, all the things that went on with Moses, that was Moses' law that Elijah was standing up for. Elijah was sent by God to confront the worship of Baal and declare to Israel that the Lord is God and there is no other. So what kind of idolatry today are you confronted with? What is going before God? You know, it took the Israelites 40 days to fall into idolatry with that golden calf when Moses went up on the mountain. 40 days. And something that blew my mind was when I started looking into this god of Baal. Do you know who started this whole thing? Do you know what king started this worship of Baal? Or, I don't know if he started it, but he's the one that really fell into it. It was Solomon. The wise man. All those ladies that he had. It was the god of Ashtoreth, the god of love and fertility. And you know what else that god was? The god of storms and rain. And it was Chemosh, the god that they worshiped, the false god, the overcomer. And the god of Milcom also, which these are the ones they were sacrificing children to, you guys. This is how perverse this was. They were sacrificing their children. It even said they're doing some human sacrifices. These were the idols that they had fallen into. No different than today, really. The idols of the people, God said to stay away from all those idols, all those people, and they didn't do it. Solomon was marrying them. He had multiple wives. Of course, you know this stuff. But the Lord warned that in Deuteronomy 11 not to do that. So this drought, it proved that God was the true God. It proved that the gods of fertility and the storms, they were impotent. This rain that didn't come for 3 years proved that God of the storm is not a God. It's not true. You guys, I feel like we have a warning today, you know, with all that's going on in the world. You know, warning. The idols, they're everywhere. Stay away. What do we put before God? What do we spend our time doing? Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. There's our idolatry, you guys. And it seems to be almost the same thing the gods of Baal were. So, Elijah, a man of faith, a man of action, he was a mountain man. He came from the mountains of Gilead. He probably spent a lot of time alone with God. Do we spend enough time alone with God? He probably spent a lot of time alone with God when God sent him out there to have the ravens feed him. There's something to this, spending time alone with God, you guys. Moses did it. Jesus did it. The prophets did it. I need to spend more time alone with God. We do that at camp. Man, to just get away from the world for a week and to get into the Word, you know, probably more than you usually do. To fellowship, to get preaching every night, every morning, every afternoon, to be totally involved in the Word of God. God could start speaking through you. You know this, right, Nikki? God starts speaking to you when you get alone with Him. And it's an awesome thing, just like He does when you step out in faith. When you step out in faith and tell that evil king that the God is the Lord, God takes over when we obey Him. And that's all Elijah was doing, was he was obeying God. You know, he was fearful, but you know who he really feared? Was God. Elijah feared God. A reverent fear. Like, this is the God of the universe, not the God of Baal, and I'm going to prove it. And God used him to prove it. So, in chapter 17, 1 Kings, I'm not going to read it all. Like I said, I'd stay here for another hour and we could just read through two or three chapters of this thing. But here's the seven miracles that God did with Elijah in this time. Like I said, in the beginning of verse 17, he was fed by the ravens. That reminds me of him feeding the Israelites in the wilderness, right, with the quail and the manna. Also, the land that he was sent to was called Zarephath. It was a territory of the land of Baal. They all worship Baal there. God is showing his power. He hid Elijah in the land of Baal to be fed by ravens And then in verses 8 through 16, he multiplied this widow's food. God sent Elijah to this widow's house. And, of course, people were probably starving. They didn't have any rain. They didn't have any water. They didn't have any crops. 3 years is a long time. I don't know what can grow after 3 years of no rain. But they were on their last bit of food. And Elijah just rolls up in there and says, "Hey, make me something to eat." And she's like, "You know, we're about to eat our last meal, me and my son, because we have nothing." And he's basically, you know, "Have faith. Eat this, give me something to eat, and God will magnify your food." And he did. God did a miracle there again. He resuscitated the widow's son. Her son was sick and dying. And Elijah, verses 17 through 24, he resurrects this little child just like Jesus did. The thing about that was some claim that Baal could do that. There was things going around in the worship of Baal saying that Baal can raise children from the dead, can raise people from the dead, but God proves it right here with Elijah that he's the only one that raises people from the dead. And guess what, you guys? That's what he's going to do with us. So he already raised me from the dead in my old life, but he's once again going to raise me up to a new life, you know, whenever this one's over. There was a sacrifice in chapter 18, verse 17. Let's turn there. Let's read a little bit of this. 1 Kings 18, 17. It says, "And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel.'" Well, let's back up. "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah," verse 17, "and Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?'" So guess what? Now Elijah's the one that troubles Israel. Well, that ain't right, is it? Who's troubling America today? Is it the Christians? Same thing's going on today, guys. "And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, and in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.'" Now therefore send and gather to meet all Israel up onto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto the Mount Carmel. And here we go, listen to this. This is the one that we need to drive home. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. All those people were on the fence. They were God's people. And here they are worshiping Baal. But they're like, I'm God's people, but I'm going to do what this is fun, worship over here, Get off the fence. Serve the Lord God. He's the true God. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he's trying to say to me today. So, some other miracles you did real quick. I got the verse wrong on the sacrifice. He sacrificed consumed by fire. That was when he gathered all the people of Baal together. This is right after this. I put verse 17. I must have wanted to read all that. You guys don't look like you're up for that, though. So what he did was he gathered all these people together. Did you see how many false prophets there was there? 850 false prophets. And then there's another guy over here, Obadiah. He's hiding the good prophets in a cave somewhere. Where were all those guys at? Why weren't they preaching the message? Why weren't they telling them, there's a law that says you don't worship Baal? Why is he hiding them? What are all these false prophets? 850 false prophets. They gather them all together. Elijah tells them that here's a sacrifice. We're going to find out whose God's the real God. This is what we need to do, you guys. We need to figure it out. We need to get off the fence and figure it out. Who's the real God? Is it the God of that we're worshiping in America? Is it the God of the American church? Or is it the God of the Bible? So he puts it to the test. Elijah's a man of action. So these guys get together and he's like, you're going to have to burn this sacrifice up without using any matches or anything. You're going to have to call upon your God to light this sacrifice up. They call on him all day. They pray. It doesn't even say some of the things they might have been doing. They did say that they were like slitting their wrist and putting blood on this thing and all these different things. And I don't know what all that means, but they were going back to their original ways. They might have been sacrificing people on this thing. I don't know. It doesn't say. But they tried everything they could to get that false god to do what it was supposed to do. It never happened. What's Elijah do? You guys need to go home and read this thing because it's good. Elijah pours water and water and water on this thing and, he almost makes it to where it can't burn up with fire. And then God sends fire down on that thing and burns it up. That's awesome. All day, those false prophets tried and tried to get that thing to burn up. So go down to 1 Kings 18, verse 30. Verse 30. Real quick, let's read through that. Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near me." And all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Number one, we need to gather together, and we need to repair our altars, you guys. Right? We need to round up on Sunday mornings, get excited about Jesus and what he's done, fix our broken altars. Let's go on. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around about the altar, great as it would contain 2 measures of seed. You guys, we need to strengthen our altars. Build our altars. Gather together, build our altars, and strengthen this thing up with God's people. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him down on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the woods." So we need to get our stuff in order, you guys. Gather together, fix our broken altar, strengthen it with God's people, with God's word, get our things in order. And we need barrels. of the living water of God's Word, guys, right? We need to pour barrels of God's Word on us. Verse 34, and he said, do it the second time. He does it again, he does it again. The water ran about the altar and filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, verse 36, that at the time of offering the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. You guys see how short that prayer was? Miraculous thing happened with a little bitty prayer to magnify God. And the Lord could show that he was God, not those false gods. Just like us today, you guys. Let's gather together, fix what's broken, strengthen it up, whether that be D1, discipleship, just reading through the Bible, get something going to strengthen up our altar, our self, our body, our mind. Get things in order, get our wood in order, get that thing stacked up, get that water, get washed up with the water of the Word, you guys. Call on the Lord is what he did there. Call on the Lord, give glory to God. And he did this for those people. He did this for others' sake. He did this to magnify God and for people. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Love God, love people? That's what Elijah was doing. He was showing them who the true God was. He was doing what God told him. So first he obeyed God and then he loved people. So in conclusion, the results of taking a stand is, fire fell from the Lord, man. Sometimes I heard somebody say that fire was always negative in the Bible, but it's not always negative, it's refining. The fire fell and burned up the sacrifice. It was a time for sacrifice at that very time right there. Those people tried to sacrifice all day long with the fire from their false god. And right at the time it said there, that it was time for sacrifice, God sent the fire down. It's time, you guys. Don't look back. It's time right now to gather together, fix what's broken, strengthen it up with the Word, and call on the Lord. Glorify God. Give Him glory. And let's do this for others' sake. This world is messed up, and I can't help but say it's the church's fault. So here's the things that he did. He spent time alone with God. He prayed. It wasn't even a big, fantastic prayer. He just prayed. He obeyed God, which is the big one. And he made sure that his calling, he pressed towards the mark for the high calling. Make your calling and election sure, you guys. And somewhere there, a little bit further, it says in chapter 19, verse 18, and you don't have to turn here, but it says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not positive, but there's 7,000 dudes out there that wasn't doing anything, plus the 100 that was in the cave. That's exactly how it is today. Nobody's putting it, there's one dude out there putting it into action, and he's probably the one that's on vacation right now. You guys? And there's 7,000 others that are, they haven't bowed their knee to Baal, but they haven't done anything. Be one of the ones that will stand up and call sin, sin. Stand up for God. We may not have another chance, you guys. The Lord's so good. He's our Father. We're His children, and He's trying to direct us the way He wants us to go. He loves us so much. And He's brought us all here. You guys are New Life Baptist Church. And He's brought us here for a reason. Let's be like Elijah and let's grab a hold of this thing and get her done. And I'm talking, this was all for me too, you guys. This was just for me. This was my Bible reading. And Brad asked me to give you guys something. And that was what the Lord laid on my heart. Let's pray.